Welcome to Living Orthodoxy, an invitation to a deeper life in Christ. Living Orthodoxy is the parish podcast of St. Philip Orthodox Church in Souderton, Pennsylvania. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Greetings, all of our podcast listeners here. Welcome back to the reboot of Living Orthodoxy. This is a parish podcast for St. Philip Orthodox Church in Souderton, PA. And it's been probably, I think, since 2020 since we had an actual podcast. So it's good to be back with my new co-host here, Nick Muzicari. Reader Nick.
Hello, welcome. Everyone. Yeah. Hello, everyone. I understand I have some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you certainly, we in the former iteration of this podcast, it was now Father David Hyatt. It's good to do this reboot and with you, Nick. And
looking forward to it. Yeah, yep.
Forward to the time together. So
absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it was. Frankly, it was your idea, so
might have been. Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, you already had it all ready to go.
Yeah, so. We had all the mechanisms in place, I suppose. Yeah,
that's right.
So yeah, we're looking forward. This it's really a ministry that's focused on the parish itself, and a forum. I think going forward, the hope is that this will be a forum to answer questions and maybe do some interviews for people here at St. Philip to, if they have any questions about the faith or any issues, really. We're always, I think we'll be looking for that kind of feedback addressing needs, in our midst. And then interviews. Hoping to hear, get to know some, we're a fairly big parish, so
we are.
It's hard to growing. Get to know everyone, so there it'd be good to have some interviews and give our parish an opportunity to get to know one another in that way through interviews.
So. Yes, looking forward to that.
But yeah, so as we start back up, I was thinking it might be a good thing to just reintroduce ourselves and. I guess you've been a fixture here for a while at the parish, so
it's been a while now. Yeah.
What did you come here?
I'm not the best with dates. Okay. I mean, I think you know we're certainly over 10 years now, probably approaching 15, and so I came here with my wife and our children, and. Back, you know, whatever, 10, 15 years ago, Father Boniface was here, and I think the first person we met was Athanasius. And but anyway, so I mean, we've been here ever since. So I couldn't be happier. No, be on the journey here.
Yeah,
I was. I was raised, you know, into the faith as a. As an infant, so I was baptized as an infant and in OCA Church in Philadelphia, Saints Peter and Paul's, Albanian Orthodox Church. And, you know, so I had my journey there, and as a teen I had a sort of a rebellious chapter of that journey.
Yeah.
But, you know, then coming back to the church. That's since I've been back, you know, it's just been a journey. So I don't know what else to say other than that, but, happy to be on the journey with you and everyone here. As far as what I do here, I mean, I've involved in catechism a bit in teaching a bit, with the Sunday school here. I am a reader. So I was tonsured a reader back at Saints Peter and Paul's, and that's it. Struggling father and
family man,
married, six kids.
Yeah.
So it's a chaotic beauty. Yeah, but Yeah, anyway, good to be here with you. So I'm looking forward to the podcast. And
yeah, well, and you, if I recall, you at one point were contemplating perhaps a ordination or that.
I had
a year in seminary.
I tried to skip that part.
You skipped that part, but that's, no, you got to.
This is my strategy.
No, you have some.
I probably should have mentioned that. Yeah, I spent some time at St. Tikhon's. While I was going for a bachelor's at Mary Wood University now. Yeah. But yeah, I even to back up a little bit before that, I wasn't sure if my path was leading into, you know, the monastic life.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember
you saying that. And in fact, going, you know, pursuing that calling, which I wasn't sure if that's exactly what it was, but... or, you know, if it was the priesthood, but it turned out in my case, or even the diaconate, you know, that was part of it too. But in the end, it turned out that was not, you know, my journey. So, however, that formation that I had at St. Tikhon's, you know, it was just priceless.
Yeah.
You know, even the little time I spent there in learning, you know, how to pray, to put it practically, and... yeah, so I bring that along with me in my formation, you know. So
yeah, it's good. It's good to know that about you. I have a special connection with Nick in that you're godfather to my youngest.
This is true.
We share that connection, which is great.
It's a blessing.
Appreciate
yeah.
your prayers for him.
And, the ever growing Evan.
Yes,
he is. Right. Every time I see him, he's growing bigger and bigger. So.
Yeah. So you would have. I don't remember the first time I met you, but you certainly would have been here when my family started our journey to Orthodoxy there in earnest in 2015. So I had a couple year coming. Kind of coming out of the academic intellectual paradigm conversion through that, you know, reading the early church fathers and just becoming more historically aware in an academic way that then synced up with my own some convictions and spiritual need, you know, just as a younger father, young family, and wanting to get them myself and then them on the right path, you know, and where is the church, right? Mm-hmm. The question and wanting to...
Was that the main question that was coming up for
you? Yeah, I mean, seeing the, historically and theologically, and then also just practically in the world, you know, what, where's the stability of an identity of the church and being Christian that is not in reaction to something else, right?
Hmm.
That has its own, this continuity of faith and tradition and not utopia, but a continuity and that can speak to it's kind of a negative cast, but to speak to the challenges of the world as it is now with an authority, you know, that comes with that unbroken continuous tradition. So really the fatal flaw, I think, in, kind of maybe getting a little ahead of ourselves there.
Perhaps,
but the fatal flaw in some of these, some other Christian identities is they're based in some reaction to, you know, a historical reaction to something else that they recreate the problems that they're reacting to just in another way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the ever-flowing tide. It keeps changing. And,
so Orthodoxy, you know, is... I came, you know, to the conviction, that it's just it is the place to be. You know, I'd say it is the church, and so with all of that entails. So it was 2015. Mm-hmm. I think my first visit here was in 2013, just by myself, and then I came again the year later, just kind of on a first time was just on a whim.
And then and was St. Philip's the first Orthodox church?
I had been, first liturgy was in 2011 down at the St. Stephen Cathedral.
Okay.
The OCA Cathedral.
Uh-huh.
Just more than North Philly, I guess.
Interesting.
So I was open already to theologically, this the importance of the sacraments, mm-hmm. and then of course the church is directly connected with that. You know, like that, if I can believe that God became incarnate,
yeah.
in Christ, why can't I believe that God can continually, you know, manifest His presence, make Himself present to the church in sacramental realities, right?
Right. That's a good way to say it. I like that. Yeah.
So that was part of the paradigm shift for mm-hmm. me, that really, like, what. Yeah, where is the true church? And mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's directly connected. Sacramental realities, and then the whole life of faith, you know, that mm-hmm. Where everything fits together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was like 2015 again, where when we started coming here, just on a inquirer basis, and then we were, that would have been I guess in the winter, spring mm-hmm. of 2015, and then we were received into the catechumenate. Mm-hmm. Later that fall, and then over the next, I guess it would have been the following Pentecost, we were received, you know, the mm-hmm. the whole family. So,
yeah,
Pentecost 2016, and
that's wonderful.
Yeah. So, and since then, you know, been I think it was probably about a year later that I came on, I guess, staff, you might say, here at church, mm-hmm, working in mm-hmm. the office.
Yeah,
was tonsured a reader, and then mm-hmm. I think it was, that would have been 2017. And I believe it was 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, two different Greek words for ordination. So uh-huh. the lower scale ordination
yeah.
for the subdiaconate. So
yeah,
the very minor clergy here.
Minor clergy. So, yeah, you know, people yeah. sometimes still yeah. call me father.
Yeah,
they see the
black.
Them.
They see the black robe. And,
I'm not. I'm just a reader.
Yeah. yeah. So, but yeah, I do have, I've been blessed to, mm-hmm. since was spring 2021, to be up at St. Tikhon's, teaching up there.
Yeah, that's awesome. On an
adjunct lecturer basis.
That's wonderful.
In the scripture realm. So,
mm-hmm.
So
you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you got a lot on your plate. Well, you do a lot of good work.
Yeah. Helped out with catechism here as well at St. Philip. And,
right, yeah.
Done some Bible studies here. And,
yeah, and you, so. You're a scripture guy.
Yeah.
You know, for lack of a better word. I mean, right. That's one of your fortes, right? Just the knowledge of the scriptures and where they, how they fit into the life of faith. And
right. Yeah. Yeah. It's,
so you've been quite a blessing.
Coming,
you know,
from the evangelical world. Yeah.
Yeah.
An evangelical Independent Baptist.
Yeah. Yeah.
We certainly cared about the scriptures.
Right.
So
right.
That served me well, but now it's been merged with and brought into the context of the church,
right?
The worship and
the
spiritual, the spiritual life, all the tradition. So it's nice.
Awesome.
That's really what drew me. I mean, big mm-hmm. part of what drew me this mm-hmm. the scriptures are lived, for us in a way that's not true, or not true in the same way, and at least in the tradition that I grew up in. So
that's amazing. Well, it's good to be on the journey with you.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. And I appreciate your desire to, and your kind of a little bit of not prodding, but a little, you know, you're pushing us to get this podcast back up and running. So I'm looking forward to continued working with you on it.
And I think, and just speaking of church generally, I think one of the things we are contemplating for tonight, and oftentimes, you know, people ask, or this comes up, is, you know, why do we even go to church?
Yeah.
You know, and especially for Orthodox Christians, it's, you know, we take that so seriously.
Yeah.
You know, not that other Christian faiths don't, but
right.
but we don't just come to church to come to church. There's so much more about that. So maybe you can speak a little bit about that, and we can discuss that a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the urgency, right? I mean, the urgency of that question is, as we move increasingly into a post-Christian culture, society, civilization,
mm-hmm.
That pushes us to really reflect on, we see, it's just not a it's not a cultural given anymore that, you know, that people are going to go to church. That's just not,
right.
You know, maybe back in the 50s or whatever, you know, 100 years ago, that was just, if you were an upstanding citizen, you know, you had some sort of religious expression, you know, like you went to church and that's just what you did. So as that sort of cultural given goes away and has, you know, pretty well, I think, gone away. You know, the rise of the nuns, right? Those nuns. No affiliation. As that, this new cultural moment we're in, it pushes us as Christians, as Orthodox Christians, to reflect on why it is exactly that we do what we do, right? It's not assumed that people are going to go to church. So why is that? Why is that important to us?
Yeah.
Not just important, but in some kind of sentimental way, but the center of our lives, hopefully.
A necessity, in fact, right? I mean, critical. And I remember Father Noel would often, you know, begin his homilies with, why are you here?
Yeah.
You know, that. So, if we could talk a little bit about that, why do we go to church as Orthodox Christians? And I know that's going to be connected with maybe a whole bunch of other things, but maybe you can start us off with some thoughts on that or delve deeper into that for us.
Sure. I would, the underlying ultimate reality that going to church is, we might say, the symptom of, the indicator of, is that we as human beings, and this is to assume our faith, you know, kind of a, that what we believe about the human person. So, but the underlying reality is that we as human beings are created to worship. That is, we, even if we're not worshiping the one true God, that doesn't mean that we're not worshiping. Or even if we're not, even if we don't conceive of ourselves as worshiping anything, a God or whatever, nevertheless, as human beings, we believe in our, you know, the revealed faith, you know, that human beings have been created to worship. And so it's not a matter of what we worship. I'm sorry, it's not a matter of if we worship. It's a matter of what we worship.
Right, got you.
So
so it's an ontological thing about us. I mean, it is our reality that we are worshiping. We were created to be worshiping beings.
And if
we're not worshiping the one true God, well, we're worshiping something. Whether is that what you're saying? Whether it's the world or our own passions or other people, probably is a big one in our culture.
Other people, you know? Sure. And in a way, we can, I think, say we can tell what people worship by, you know, what is, say, in terms of importance, what is most important to them. Where do they devote their passions? Right.
Interesting.
Their time, effort, resources, and that is perhaps a good barometer for what it is that we are worshiping, and what is it that we are, say, attaching or finding our identity in? What is it that we are imaging? Right. What is it that we are looking to? In terms of, I want to become that, or I want to see myself in that. So because we are all created as worshiping beings, that's directly connected to, related to this imaging capacity, right? That we, just as we, it's not a matter of if we worship, it's a matter of what we worship. So also, it's not a matter of whether we are imaging something. It's, what are we imaging? That is, what are we looking to find our true self, as it were, to find, you know, what it means to be human, what it means to be, what is the purpose of our existence? Right? The Greek word telos. To what end are we oriented? For some people. Yeah, the world gives us many options, right? To find our end, say our direction, and that that is, it's not wrong, I don't think, to see that as worship, right? Mm. The end to which we are directed, that around which or towards which our whole life is you know, connected, directed, oriented, that's really what we're worshiping.
Wow, that's fascinating. I'm sure most people, and I think including myself, you know, don't think of it that way, or haven't always thought of it that way, right? That, and you're even saying that what we quote unquote worship is actually what we become, in a sense,
right?
Right. So that imaging you're talking about,
So the image of God, right? What is it?
Right.
What is we're created to worship. We're created to image God. And what is the image, right?
Right. What is it we're trying? We're imaging.
Yeah. Right. And so
of course. Yeah.
So back in Genesis 1, you know, the language is to be created according to the image.
Mm-hmm.
So we are created according to the image, or you can kind of fudge that, say in the image, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or and then the next, according to or in the likeness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So created in the image, or according to the image, and according to the likeness of God. So what is the? That's different than being the image.
Mm.
So who or what is the image of God?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Of course, right. We as Orthodox, well, any Christian would. So, of course, Christ is the image of God, right?
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, so that's our connection with. We are. That's how we are imaged. It's in Him. It's in Him. Because He is the image, the icon of God.
Right.
And without Him, without the incarnation, then we would certainly just be lost and be trying to image ourselves in futility.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's an aspect of hell, just this longing and trying to fulfill ourselves, to image ourselves, but it's in futility because it's not, it's always a false image,
Right.
Yeah.
Because, this is where St. Paul goes in Romans, right? There's actually, I think, two accounts of the fall in Romans. The first one's in chapter 1, and the second account of the fall is in chapter 2.
Mm.
Or, sorry, chapter 5, everyone is in Adam. Right? Adam's first transgression introduces death into the human condition, that death spreads to all because all sin. So,
right.
So there, Paul is saying we are born into a human race that's already compromised in the old Adam, and we need the new Adam to come and put that old Adam to death in himself and then raise it back to new life. That's creating this new humanity in himself, this new Adam in himself. But that's the second account of the fall, where we are viewed as victims of Adam, right? Who is created this compromised state in humanity. Mm-hmm. In Romans 1, Paul talks in terms of free will, that we humans, by and large, suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
Mm.
So there's, even if might not be a consciously active thing, it still is an active thing that humans suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what can be known about God has been revealed in us. That there is this moral grain, this ontological moral grain to reality that we are created in. And so we know at some basic, say, visceral level what is true. That there is truth, there is falsity, there is evil. Right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that sense of we all are, in quotes, victimizers. Mm-hmm. That is, we all become Adam ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and that what the compromised state that the first Adam created, we all become guilty of in our own persons. Mm. We all are Adam. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what, to make a connection, that's exactly what St. Andrew of Crete in his great canon of repentance, that's exactly how he starts. Right? He speaks in terms of he himself is, and he's not just Adam, he's worse than Adam. And Eve, right? And all these.
Yeah.
So he's kind of making that point for us.
You know,
yes, we are victims of the first Adam, but we too are Adam. And even that repentant sense, worse than Adam. We are the chief of sinners, each one of us.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
And that theological truth, that story, that, you know, that narrative, which has truth in it, you know, for us, is going back again to imaging, right?
And then
maybe we can pivot from that into, again, why do we go to church? Or
yeah.
But going back to imaging, it's a problem of we've been disoriented, you know, with our image.
Yeah.
Right? So now we are in a sense being imaged in a false, you know, image, or the creation as an end in itself, or and so the fall, in a sense, like you said, we are all Adam. It kind of plays in us over and over again, right? And anyway, let's get to that imaging, and how is that related? So we come to church, to actually fulfill our true image,
right?
In Christ. So maybe we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Now.
So
why do we need to go to church to do that?
I guess is what
because other Christians, they go to church. They worship, they would agree, you know, there was a fall.
Right.
They would agree, you know, Christ is Lord. We need Christ. Yeah. We're made in his image and likeness. But for us, you know, it's specifically the Orthodox Church, and in that sacramental fullness that we would say, you know, that's the fullness of the healing of the image, the fulfillment of the image.
Right. So where Paul goes to come, you know, to come up to your helpful, redirecting us to the connection to church.
Right.
So the problem with humans, as you were just saying, you know, this is what Paul unfolds here in Romans 1, is that we turn down and worship the created order, which has no life in itself, instead of the creator, from whom all life comes. And of course, Christ himself as God, as creator, who is creator and image. So we are created according, not to the image is not some general resemblance to God or some facet of, like, connected just with the soul or whatever. The image of God is the person of Christ. Right?
Yeah, so, that's fascinating.
So we are, when we turn down and worship the creation, we are seeking our image in things below us, right? That have no life in themselves. And in seeking our image in those things, we become like them. And that's what Paul goes on to say. When we seek our image in things that are not God, that are not, have no life in themselves, all of these effects within the social, like the interpersonal realm of human society, disordered sexuality, disordered relationships, violence, right? All these, if we're not worshiping correctly, there are concrete effects, implications for all of not just human society or human reality, but all of creation, right? That, you know, he'll go on to say that creation itself has been subjected to futility. Because of humanity's compromised state in the old Adam. So where and how can we be redirected back to seeking our image not in things below us, but seeking our image in the image himself, that is Christ? How has Christ revealed himself to us so that we can then gaze on his image and be reconfigured, or what was the word you used? Like a reconstituted or
reoriented?
Yeah, maybe, something perhaps. Like that. Yeah, I mean, recreated, have back into the image according to whom we were created.
That's amazing. And sorry to interrupt you here, but I just have to say, you know, in you know, God sending his only begotten Son for us, right? He's sending us our true image.
Yeah.
It's like into the fallen, disordered, you know, world. And he sent, you know, his true image, his Son, you know, our Lord, the true image of God, so we can get reordered and reoriented and not be lost, and you know,
because,
in him.
Because of God's love for us, right?
Because of
that, so this is the connection, right? And that's such a shallow word, but like, why did God create us to begin with? To be in communion with us. So so the incarnation, God's condescension to us to become one of us, to assume human nature in him, in himself, in Christ, to restore it, to deify it, toward what end? So that we can be, yes, healed, saved, restored, so that we can be in communion with God. Desires
communion with us.
Communion with us.
Yeah, that's pretty mind-blowing.
So
yeah,
that's the reason we go to church, right?
Yes.
yes, we desire healing.
Yeah.
Because this is what we know that something's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? We know that we are fragmented. We know that we sin. We fall short, and we know that we need to be restored. And we know by God's grace that the only way for that to happen is in how God has revealed himself to us and to save us in Christ. And then in the ongoing life of the church, which is just as much Christ as the incarnate Christ was.
Yeah. Right?
That is, the church is Christ's body. It's the continuation of Christ's presence in the world now, in which we are fed spiritually in the, in the sacramental, in the Eucharist, and and all the... And in the worship of the church, that is the again, mechanism is not the right word, but the means by which God restores us to himself, and the means by which he effects communion, right? It brings us into communion with himself. So we get a foretaste now of this is what we were created for. We were created to be in communion with God. That, because God has chosen to work in this way, that communion is experienced in the life of the church in its fullest sense, fullest reality now, in anticipation, as a foretaste of the life of the eternal kingdom, in which... Is it going to be one long church service? I don't know. It's going to be something. Yeah. Whatever foretaste we have now, it's going to be that, you know, on an infinite scale of communion with God.
And that's certainly good news.
Yeah, that's good news. That's what we were created
that's
for.
That's the good news.
So that's, but that's the big buy-in, right? That, and we have to, as part of our faith, have to believe, we do believe that, again, because God has this sense of natural law or the divine image that's not destroyed in the fall, that people know at the deepest, you know, part of their being that this is what they need. And so as the church have that calling then to first for our own repentance, for our own, you know, healing in the life of the church, but then to share that and invite people and share that with the world around us.
So we come to church. I mean, it's nothing less than we are coming to become fully human,
right?
And to participate in the life of God,
right?
I mean, that's, which is what we were created for,
right?
So it's more than some kind of, it's more than just forgiveness, right? We need to be forgiven, but it's forgiven so we can be restored and have communion,
right?
You know,
and it's more than just. I mean, there is an element of duty, and I appreciate. I was listening to Cyril, Gary Jenkins. He had a nice interview with Father Pat Henry Reardon, mm-hmm. and they were talking about church and worship, and Father Pat has a particular aversion to the word spirituality. So mm-hmm. it's not, there's a difference between spirituality and religion, mm-hmm. and or piety, mm-hmm. right? That spirituality veers towards the individual and the subjective, whereas piety has the sense of it's not about, we go to church not because we expect to get something out of it,
mm-hmm.
or mm-hmm. certainly in some emotional way, but because it's our duty as those created in God's image to worship,
mm-hmm.
right? So mm-hmm. that's, and that sense of religion, that etymologically related to, I think, ligament, right? That which binds things together, right? Mm-hmm. So the effects of right worship that then bind people together, bind society together. So the horizontal effects of true worship, the positive effects of on a horizontal level to true worship are flowing from this rightly ordered vertical, you know, relationship, where we see ourselves as duty bound in a way to worship God. That's just what we are. That's what we do. So that, you know, that's might grate us a little, in some of our sensibilities now, but I think that's a key point too. And then ultimately love is what must be the motivation, right? That we don't worship out of duty in some grudging way, but out of love for the God's first movement towards us, right? We love him because he first loved us, and we respond.
So you're also saying, so this notion of duty, perhaps in now, you know, in the fallen world, can grind on us a bit. In a certain way, is what you're saying.
We hear it perhaps in this Protestant informed culture as like a work thing, where we're supposed to, duty means we're obliged to do this as
it's like oppressive or something like that.
Yeah, or that, you know, we think we're earning our God's grace or in some way, or so that's obviously not what's being said.
But
It's an antidote to the, why is there such loose affiliation or such little importance placed on actual going to church in our culture?
Right.
So the sense of duty keeps it in place, right? That this is not something that is a matter of just choice, right?
Right.
I'm going to choose to do that this, you know, today or this Sunday or that.
Yeah. We have the responsibility to do so as image bearers of God.
Right.
Right. But that duty or that feeling of duty, I mean, ultimately, as we are being healed, we are being re-imaged in the church. I mean, eventually it leads to love. I mean, in the fullness of love, then perhaps, you know, these notions we think of duty or this just melt away, you know. That's not, you know,
we could maybe think of it connected to like the marriage relationship, right?
That's a good analogy.
If we walked out the door every time we didn't feel, you know, like we were in love with our spouses, then think of the effects of that, right?
Yeah.
If everyone did that on a societal level.
Yeah,
it's a sense of proper duty that keeps us all connected.
So I hear what you're saying. We have to have that sense of duty. I mean, it's got to be there somewhere.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would drift and scatter.
Right.
Yeah. So sometimes, even, you know, for all of us, I'm sure, That sense of duty, you know, we have to get up and go to church. We're not always, we're not feeling in communion with God on a particular day, perhaps. I mean, it doesn't work like that. You know, like the beginning of the liturgy is our death, but, you know, by the end, it's our resurrection type of thing. So that duty to actually bring us here, and that bears fruit and the fruit, you know, is God's grace, right? And in our freedom.
Yeah,
so thank you for all that.
Oh, thank you.
It's good stuff.
So those are, I think, some pretty good reasons to go to
good
church, aren't
Good reasons to go to church, yeah. So just to sum it up, we go to church to become who we truly are, right? To fulfill our image, to fulfill who we are as images of God. And that's done in Christ, and that's done only in the church authentically and fully, because the church, the Orthodox Church, is his body.
Right.
So the incarnation is real in the church. That's the whole point. It's real. So we really come into contact with Christ, and we're really brought into this relationship with God.
Right.
So, and we probably could talk about, I mean, I don't, we probably went over already, but we could go on, because the sacramental life is connected with that and all these things.
Right.
But
for the
next podcast, we can talk about how the sacramental life is connected with, you know, integral to our worship and becoming images of God.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan. Okay, very good. Okay, well, it was a good discussion.
Yes.
Good. So thanks for having me, and
on this
relaunch of the podcast.
Yeah, it's good to spend the time together, and we hope this is of some small benefit to our parish community, and then whoever else might, you know, come in contact with this podcast, this episode, and then going forward, we welcome feedback, certainly, and any
absolutely
questions, comments.
Yeah,
both. For this episode and then going forward, what any questions, topics you'd like to see discussed. So
I think do we have an email folks can send, or maybe we'll work on getting that together formally,
right?
But for now, you could
just email the office.
You can just hit us up
at office at sd-philip.net.
That's can, right,
yeah. So, well,
sounds good.
Reader Nick, good to be with you, and blessings to all of our listeners.
For more information about St. Philip Orthodox Church, visit us online at st-philip.net.